Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the truth of the song.
Amen.
Amen. I like those old hymns. There's more sound doctrine in some of them than being preached in some churches these days.
Amen.
My name is Dave Spurgeon. I'm an evangelist from Ohio. And thank you, David, for the reminder to put that on. I caught that. Amen. A lot of times they'll give it to you early, and then I'll forget to turn it on. So I don't know how long you got to be an evangelist before you remember all those details, but I'm not there yet. And so I'll probably break it. But I won't do it on purpose. Where was I? Do I need to start all over? Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be saved. That's a good way to kill a couple seconds while you're putting a thing away. And then I am glad to be in San Antonio today. Of course, my home is in Ohio, and it's a lot warmer here. Amen. So I'm glad to be here. My wife's with me. I thank the Lord for her. She's traveled with me the whole time.
Amen.
We raised our children in an RV. She homeschooled them. I had a part of the homeschooling. I was director of field trips. And my kids got a lot of field trips, amen. I'm the biggest hindrance to homeschool that ever lived. Amen. I'd see a sign on an exit that that looks good, let's pull off. But I appreciate that. My kids rewarded me by making us grandparents, and that's something I never, ever thought I'd ever get a chance to be, you know, when I was running around like a hooligan all those years on my way to hell. But God bless us. A dear friend of mine, driven down from San Marcos today, be with us today. Brother Mike McFadden's up there going to school, and he's got a call on his life, and I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do with him. But it's a pleasure and a joy and a privilege to be with you today. Pastor Mike Veach of First Bible Church in Staten Island, New York, is a very dear friend of mine. I preach for him every year. He speaks highly not only of your pastor and his family, but of this church, and you've been a blessing to him. And there's a couple other men that I've known for a long time that been by this way. Brother Will Cosby, I met him when I first got out of jail. Oh, I don't know if I was supposed to say that. Too late now. And he was a friend and an encouragement. And then I heard today that a friend of mine that's not in heaven yet, he's like me, he's waiting. Brother Jack Patterson's been through here, and he's a good friend of mine, too. Take your Bible this morning and take it. Go to Proverbs 25, and again, it's a blessing to be here. Proverbs 25, and we'll read a verse together in verse 25. Proverbs 25:25. The Bible says this: "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Well, let's pray again. Father, I love you today, and I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for allowing us to come together in a place, Father, that believes the book. And Lord, I just pray and ask God you'd help me say what you want said, be a blessing to these precious folks today, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for it.
Amen.
And Lord, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, God, we're glad they're here. We hope they don't leave that way. So I pray your spirit would have free reign today, and God, just help us to be a blessing to you. You're the one who deserves a blessing, Lord. And you've been so good to us. Now I just pray that everything will be according to thy will, and pray it in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It says some things there. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, water refreshes. Amen. I've got some with me right here, just in case I get to preaching and start feeling a little faint. I got me some cold water. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. I didn't bring that for illustrative purposes. I mean, I really plan on drinking it. Amen. But here's what we know. Water refreshes. Water refreshes like nothing else. It does more than just refresh physically. It helps you think clearly. Sometimes you can get fatigued from heat, and you guys know something about that, don't you? Amen. It gets warm here from what they tell me. I don't ever intentionally plan on finding out what it's like here in July. In July, I'm in Minnesota. I'm in New York City. I'm in upstate New York. I'm in Maine. Amen. It's January. It's a good time to be in Texas. Amen. Amen. But I've learned, I mean, I've been in some places, and cold water refreshes and enables you to think clearly and gives you the strength to keep on going when nothing else will.
Yeah.
Amen. It's absolutely necessary for life. I mean, it's almost the wrong thing to say around a group like this, but it's more important than food. I know that borders on blasphemy there. Amen. But it says it's cold waters to a thirsty soul. Truth of the matter is, it quenches thirst like nothing else.
That's right.
More than soda or pop or Coke or whatever you might call it here. Boy, traveling around, you hear things called all different things. But you know what I'm talking about. Cold water quenches thirst better than fruit juice. And if you've ever really been thirsty, you know that. And the passage says this: cold water to a thirsty soul. Now, the Bible teaches, and I'll tell you something, you do yourself a service to be in the Sunday school hour here this week. And I'm going to tell you why. What I heard this morning, it was a blessing to me, but here's what I know about a church where somebody takes studying the Bible faithfully, seriously, and committing it to faithful men and women. So it takes that seriously. Here's what I know. You'll get more sound doctrine in the Sunday school hour of a church like what I heard today than some Christians will ever get in 30 years. Than some folks will ever get in a Bible school.
Right.
If people just avail themselves of the Sunday school hour, they'll get some teaching. And this church does some teaching. Here's how the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches by comparison, by contrast, and by repetition. And what you got here in this verse in our text this morning is a comparison between cold waters. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, what I really want to preach on is good news from a far country. Take your Bible, and I know that you're probably wondering how Brother Bill and I got together on this, having never met, never spoke. I guess we must have done it through the Holy Spirit, unbeknownst to one another. That's how God does things, so that He gets the glory. You know, the only one that's worthy of any glory today is Him, and God forbid there's a little too much of other people trying to take credit for stuff He does going on. I don't want no part of it. Amen. I don't want to be around people that are trying to get in and take the credit for what God's doing. In light of the fact that God's got this thing set up, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so that no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 13, we'll jump in right there. It's hard to figure out where to jump in sometimes because it's all good.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, and then referring to those that have previously been mentioned, it says, this is the hall of faith, if you will, and the saints are mentioned. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We're talking about a far country now. It says in verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. You know why people fall back and fall out and go back? Because they don't do this right here. That they don't burn the bridges. They stay mindful of that country that God called them out of. I got saved out of a life of motorcycle gangs and liquor and drugs and prison and trouble and violence 15 years of my adult life. And when God saved me by His grace, and I won't take the credit, He put me in a church where somebody opened up the King James Bible and showed me that I just didn't get saved for heaven's sake. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I thank God that by some good examples, some bridges got burnt. Why? Because my past doesn't catch up with me, and I don't have a temptation to go back. I don't want to be mindful of that country from which I came. Amen. That's just a little nugget to help you keeping facing forward and headed toward God. It says in verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Listen, let me say this. I'm a patriot. I'm a United States Army veteran. I'm a former paratrooper. My father's a combat veteran from World War II. My great-grandfather fought with Robert E. Lee. Amen. Well, we're not bragging on that one as much. Amen. Because they, you know, but it doesn't matter. Listen. I'm not going to get on the America bashing bandwagon that some of my brethren are on. Amen. I respect the military. I love my country. My call in life is to try to win some of my countrymen to Jesus Christ. With all that being said, I'm not an idiot either. Our country's in a mess. I'd like to preach on good news from this country today, but I'll tell you what, that'd be a short message. Some people probably like me to attempt that. But I'll tell you what, I seek a country today that there's some good news coming out of. Amen. There's some good news coming. It's good news from a far country. Amen. Listen, go take your Bible. Go to Revelation 21. Let's look at a couple things about this place that God, it said God prepared it. Amen. You don't need to buy the extended warranty if God prepared it. Amen. You don't have to worry. You can just put your confidence. It's going to work. It's going to be exceeding abundantly above that which you could ask or think. I'm looking forward to that. Chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 2. I said, Brother Spurgeon, are you nervous? No, I'm just excited, man. We got the infallible Word of God. Got a bunch of people here. It says on your sign, you're meeting here in the name of Jesus Christ, buddy. There ain't no better way to meet.
Amen.
Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Boy, I'll tell you what that tells you about how that city's going to look. I know this. I've married off a couple of daughters, been to some weddings. I know this. There is never a day that a young lady does not want to be more beautiful than the day she's presented to her husband. That's a big deal. How do you know? Because there's a multi-million-dollar industry that tries to talk you into adding a lot of stuff to that day that you don't need at all. I'll tell you what you need, ladies, to be beautiful for your husband is a godly countenance. Because there ain't nothing prettier on a woman than a godly countenance. Boy, and this world tries, but it can't imitate it.
That's right.
I'm telling you the truth. Amen. But we're talking here. That's the comparison that's given to this place, to this beautiful city. Look at verse 10. It says, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. I appreciate that message today. Amen. It went hand in hand with what I want to talk about. I'm looking forward to this place that God prepares. Listen, we're trying to preach here on good news from a far country. I got some good news for you. This thing that we're reading about, this thing the Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Boy, you can read through here and get a description and human terms about the foundation and the gate and all that. And still, the Bible says we're unable to scratch the surface of how wonderful it's going to be. Hey, you want some good news? If you're saved, there's a day going to come, you're going to see it.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it entering into your heart and trying to figure it out, man. You're going to be, you're going to be able to look right at it. I don't know about you, that's good news because, you know, there's a lot of tourism industry tries to get people to go places that there is nothing on this planet to compare to that. I don't even need to be said. It gets better than that. It gets better than that. If you're saved, you're going to live there. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. A variety of things are going on here. A variety of things are going on in any church this size all across America. Man, we're all at different places with different struggles, health, financial, all that stuff. But listen, no matter what, the day's going to come, and this thing, this life, this parentheses, called time is dropping a bucket of grain of sand compared to eternity, and that's where you're going to spend eternity. Amen. Amen. I don't know about that's good news. Amen.
Amen.
That helps me when I get up and look at the situations that are facing me in the day, whatever realm they're on. Boy, just to know that one day this thing's going to be not only over but forgotten. Amen. Amen. That's good news to me. Good news from a far country. Let me give you a couple things. You're in Revelation 21. Look in verse 22. Now we're going to go to the outline. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, that tells you right there when that book says, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right there, it is defined. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ is the glory of God.
Amen.
Period. So no matter how good you are in best society standards, you might be pretty good. Amen. We got the mentality as we witness, do any personal work. There's people that got an idea, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm pretty good. Compared to so-and-so, you might be the most outstanding member of the community. Ever listen, something, you get your nose out of the television and the internet and all that stuff, and you'll quit believing that everybody's a crook or a weirdo or a pervert. That's what the media try to convince you of. Let me tell you something, traveling around this country 15 years, I'm an American, there's a lot of good, decent, honest folk. And they just need the Jesus Christ, just like you did.
Amen.
Just like I did.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you what, compared to him, on our best day, let alone a normal day, on our best day, we've come short. It says the Lamb is the light thereof. And so we're talking about good news from a far country. This is the one. This is the one. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for you. That's who it is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, for he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to meet him. That's good news. That's good news. You're going to get to meet him. Listen, we sang about him this morning.
Amen.
And we talk about him. I hope you talk to him. I hope you bowed your knee and your heart to the Lord this morning. I hope you talk to him. I hope you have the lines of communication open. I hope that according to Isaiah 59 that nothing between or messing up your ability. Amen. That he might not hear you. Say, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says iniquity has separated you between you and your God. And if that's the case, well, this is a great place to get that taken care of. Just get it right. Get it right. Get up. Get back in fellowship with the Lord. You'll be glad you did. He'll be glad you did. But you'll be glad that you did. Listen, that book says, and we're looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, we're looking for that, aren't we? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And purifying himself, peculiar people. I'll tell you what, we're on our way to being that, ain't we? Amen. Peculiar people. Amen. Good news this morning. You're going to meet the one that gave his life for you. You know what the Bible says about him? The Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
I'm glad he finished it. Because he did. I got hopes of being able to finish it. Paul finished his course. Jesus finished his. I want to finish mine. I was almost 38 years old when I got saved. This is not a fad. This is not just something to do. I tell you what, when the Lord made a new creature, he put a desire within my soul to finish it according to his will. And we can. The Bible teaches that we can. Amen. And he did. He's the author of our faith. If you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I got news for you. He's the finisher too.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible calls him the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, the songbook calls him the Lily of the Valley. The Bible calls him the Lily of the Valleys. So what he's saying, Brother Spurgeon, I'm saying that same God that got you through the last struggle and got you through the last tribulation and got you through the last storm and got you through the last valley is the same Lily that'll get you through the next one. I'm looking forward to meeting him. Amen. Amen. The Bible calls him the Son of Righteousness and the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings, amen, and the Lord of Lords and Almighty God.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. Brother Bill brought it up today. There's a lot of religion. I'm not religious. Amen. I didn't get any religion. The preacher that came to the jail in November 1990 said, I didn't bring religion here, and I'm glad I didn't get any. I still don't have any. Amen. But I'll tell you something. My Savior today, hey, is the Almighty God.
Amen.
Ain't no religion to it. Amen. There's a lot of, but other people believe differently. They're wrong. It really is that simple. I was wrong, you were wrong. Until you got tapped in, they say, well, you're nutty. Yeah, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt this time. Amen. Amen. Listen, he's the blessed hope and the Alpha and the Omega and one of my favorites. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not as a lion walking about. He is the Lion. Amen. Hey, he's coming back.
Amen.
I like saying that. Amen. Amen. One day you're going to see him. If you're saved, one day you're going to meet him. Here's how that should go. One day, you're going to get down on your knees and thank him personally. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus. I'm looking forward to the day that I can thank him personally.
Amen.
For what he did to make a way for me to live forever and for my sins to be gone here too. And to have victory in this life and run with the best crowd I ever, after 3 years in the paratroopers and 15 years in the motorcycle gang, and then now 21 with God's people, I can tell you something about groups. I can tell you something about Christians. I've heard this thrown up in my face. Christians aren't perfect. Yeah, but it's still the best crowd I ever run with.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
At least there's somebody in our crowd that is perfect. That's where we got our name. Amen. Amen. Listen. You know that day, not as I perceive it, that day when you meet him, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be well aware of the debt. Well, you're going to be so acutely aware of how much he loved you because we're going to get glorified bodies, but if I'm understanding my Bible right, he's still going to bear the marks from Calvary. That's why we're going to be able to differentiate him from us. Amen. And boy, when we get a grasp of that, we try now, but boy, that day you meet him, you're going to understand how much he loved you that day. You're going to understand the debt you owed him. You're going to wish that day you'd have done more for him while you could have. And that, I don't think there's going to be any exception to that. Because some of that we're not going to be able to grasp until we see him. But I know this. We can get a glimpse of him from that Bible. And if we get a hold of what he did and how much he loved us and the debt we owe, maybe if we can get a hold of the fact that we ought to try to do more for him now while we have a chance, we can make more of a difference.
Amen.
If some have compassion, making a difference. I'll tell you what, a man came to the jail with the gospel. That made a difference. But then God put me in a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, with folks, believers that not just sang about it and carried about, but believed it and tried to live it. And that made a difference to me. And you know what? The Lord wants to use you to make a difference to others. Amen. Number one on this little outline is you'll get to meet Jesus Christ personally. I tell you something else. You'll get to get in on true worship. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and look with me in verse 11. It says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was..." Now look at this, 10,000 times 10,000. Don't bring your cell phone out with your calculator and start trying to figure out how many that is. Because I already tried that. And it doesn't work because then it says, and thousands of thousands. And you don't have a calculator that can figure that. But I have worked it out for you, the details. I cross-references with Daniel chapter 7, and I'm going to tell you how many that is. You ready? It's a lot. That is a lot. That's all I know. But I know what they're doing. It says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." Feel free to amen. This is good stuff. "And riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It says in verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them heard I sing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." You know, that's worship.
Amen.
Nowadays, you'll drive by and churches will have on their sign, they'll have their worship, you know, all in a little parentheses, worship between 11 and 11:04. We put God in a box and we think we're doing God a favor by coming to church once in a while, but there's a day coming. If you're saved, there's a day coming. You're going to get to, really, you're going to get to observe, or witness, if you will, true worship. And there won't be any scream coming down. There won't be any bouncing ball. There won't be any praise team that looks like something out of a rock concert. It's not going to be that way. I'm going to tell you something else. It's not going to be sitting over in the corner flipping beads, vainly repeating some prayers. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's not true worship. Yeah, religions have what they do is they have a strange way of complicating what God made simple.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. But this worship that we got going on here and what we got going on there, we're talking about far country today. It's not going to be like that. And there's we have, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to tell you something else it's not going to be like. It's not going to be like some Christians with a precious old hymnal in their hands, just mouthing the words of the blood that still saves and the dungeon flaming with light and things like that. We read this, and there's more sound doctrine in our hymn book than some churches have, but we've heard it and sang it so much and so long we don't even look at what we're saying, and sometimes we're standing there picking our nose and our fingernails and talking to the kids and everything else. Listen, listen. You need to look at what you're singing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
For that little period where we try to worship the Lord in song.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, when we get there, we're going to get in on true worship. Some people are going to have to take a class when they get there. They're going to have to get there. And then, okay, all the people that worshiped God, or at least tried, as good as they can in this body, down here, you go over here to the throne and you'll get with the program quick. But some of you, worship 101, you're going to have a classroom. I speak as a fool. What am I saying? Wouldn't it be good if we could try to get in on worshiping God down here? I think it says something in there somewhere about in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm looking forward to meeting him so I can thank him. Looking forward to seeing him get the praise that he deserves. Because on our best day, amen, we fall short. And he knows that. That's no excuse not to give him our best effort. Okay. And let me give you something else. Revelation chapter 21. The subtitle for this message is "The Day the Roast Burnt." No, I'm kidding. Or else it'll turn into a series. You'll get that later, maybe. Revelation 21, in verse 4, and the Bible says this, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Hallelujah. It says, "For the former things are passed away." Well, you want to talk about good news from a far country? To have that list eradicated? That's good news. Amen. I'll tell you something else. It says in verse 27 there in Revelation 21, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." There won't be any economic crisis there. And there won't be any prodigals. There won't be any devil's music. There won't be any taking the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
Won't be anything that defileth. Everything will be clean and decent and honorable and lovely and pure and And we won't have to work so hard to think on those things, because that's all there is there. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
Amen. And let me tell you something else. And I'll just read this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And somehow, you know, Brother Bill was there today too. And in that passage, it says, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." A dear friend of mine, my Bible teacher at Trinity Baptist Church, was a Vietnam veteran. He was wounded in combat in 1970. His spine was severed. He spent 28 years in a wheelchair. He's the finest Christian I ever knew in my life. He was my teacher. If I'd have known he was going to get Lou Gehrig's disease and go home and be with the Lord in 1998, I'd have paid better attention in Bible school. Amen. And which was at my local church, by the way. And I started in evangelism while he was afflicted with this terminal disease. And everywhere I went, this was back in 97, everywhere I went, I would tell people, pray for Brother Mike Hohnstein and pray for his family, and they're going through this ordeal. And people would pray. And every time, every prayer letter and every time I made the rounds, and I didn't have as many churches back then, but the ones I did, I went through 3 or 4 times a year. Amen. You know what that's like. So every time I got there, I'd give an update and I'd give a report and I'd ask for prayer. And then the day came, then the time came where I was able to go in some of those same pulpits and stand there and say, "I've got some good news. The Lord has healed Brother Hohnstein." People's jaws dropped open and wow, because nobody ever knew there was a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. Oh yeah, there is. Brother Mike went on to be at the Lord. That's what that is. I'm going to tell you what. I got some good news for you. Your loved ones that died in the faith, they're safe and sound now. Brother Mike's not in a wheelchair anymore. He's not afflicted anymore. I'll tell you where he is. He's one of that number. Amen. It's thousands and thousands plus him. Amen. He's up there. You hear me? My mother was my greatest fan after I got saved. She would come and hear me preach and stand up and say, "That's my boy, that's my boy." 15 years, that was her boy. 15 years of disgrace and shame. 15 years, amen, of not knowing every time the phone rang if it was my funeral that somebody was calling about. And when I got saved, she stayed faithful. She prayed. And when I got saved, man, she forgot. She just left all that in the past and loved me. My mother, she never condoned my sin, but she never for one second caused me to doubt that she loved me and that she was praying for me. And I got 11 years with her. This side of the cross, for me, she was saved before I was born. And Lord called her home. She suffered for a while. That better be the Lord. She suffered for a while and died of cancer. While the rest of the family was coming apart at the seams, amen, the lost members, and, "Oh, Nana, we'll never see you." And, you know, they didn't visit her when she was alive, you know. But they were all taking pills and drinking to get them to the funeral. And I preached the funeral. And I stood there and we got ready to lower the coffin lid over in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, where we're from. I looked at her and I said, "I'll be seeing you later." Because I knew she wasn't there. She's not suffering anymore.
Amen.
Not a bit. For 10 years, she's been present with the Lord. Last year, I lost my dad, 91-year-old combat veteran. Amen. My hero. Amen. In this world, one of the best friends I ever had. Amen. Amen. He got some kind of blood cancer thing and he'd have to drive 45 miles up to Columbia, Tennessee to take treatment, sit in a chair and I don't know, some of you know about that more than me. And 45 miles. He bought a new car when he was 89. And he's 91, almost 92 years old and just a couple months before he died, I was visiting him and he said, "David," he kind of whispered, he didn't want my wife to hear. Probably. And of course, when you're deaf, when you whisper, everybody can hear. Ask me how I know. Amen. Amen. And he says, "You know that stretch Walker Flats just south of Columbia, Tennessee?" And I said, "Yeah, straight, 5 miles, straight as an arrow." And He said, I had that Lincoln, I had that Mercury doing 120 miles an hour. 91 years old. He kind of just chuckled. I said, Dad, 40 years ago, you're telling me to slow down. Dad, please slow down. Lord took him home a couple months later. His pain stopped. His misery stopped. They put a coffin, they put a flag over his coffin, and I stood behind it. And, buddy, I tell you what, and I miss them both today. I miss all three of them. I miss Brother Hanstein. I miss my mom and dad. But they're safe and sound. See, we're the ones that are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They've already passed. They're safe and sound. That gives me comfort. That's good news from a far country, if you ask me. Amen. And, what else? Let's fast forward to point number 19. No, I'm kidding. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Not quite that bad. Amen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Before I went into full-time evangelism, I was in jail and prison work, juvenile detention work. Thought that's what I was always going to be doing. God had different plans, and I just report to work every morning and say, yes, sir, that's what I do. And one time when I was in the county jail, I was going as a preacher, not a priest, and I was going from one range to the next, and I had to go through this area where I couldn't see into the cells. It was kind of configured weird. But I'm preaching in the jail. Now, you may notice, I don't know, maybe not, but you may have noticed that if I'm in an open forum like this, if I'm preaching to this group right here, there's a good chance that that group can hear me. You follow me? I mean, well, I'm trying to reach everybody within earshot anyway. So I'm preaching to a cell block, and then I've got in my next appointment a couple blocks over, wherever I'm supposed to go, wherever they've requested service. I had to go by an area where there wasn't any people, but as I walked by there, a voice rings out from the cell, and it says this: I worship Satan! That's what the guy yells, because he didn't like to hear me preaching. Probably one of them atheists. You know, every atheist that's ever died is doctrinally correct right now. I mean, they are Bible believers, I'm telling you. Amen. And so I went on down to where I was supposed to be, and I just said to the fellas, I said, could you give me a minute? And like, they didn't have any choice because they're locked up anyway. So they said, okay. And I walked back down, and I took my Bible, and I broadcast down that corridor the verse we just read, which I lost. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And the Bible said he's going to be there forever and ever. And I just gave the guy a little short one-point message and went like this: you're worshiping a loser! And I went on down and tried to preach. What are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? I got some good news from a far country for you. One day that devil that's been giving you and I such a hard time for so long, one day he's going to get what he deserves. Amen. That's good news if you ask me. Sad truth is, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that's blinded the minds of them believe not, done a lot of damage while he was down here. Amen. And it says he blinded the minds, and I run into people a lot of times, and might be somebody like that in here today, and I want you to listen. Maybe you're in that group that's been blinded into believing that you're going to heaven because you're a good person. There's people like that. Well, we go out and do personal work, preach on the street, hand out tracts. People will say, you offer them a gospel tract? And they'll say, no, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm going to tell you what, nobody's all right. Amen. Nobody's even remotely close to being all right until their sins are scripturally forgiven. That's all there's to it. But God of this world blinded the minds, and there's people in churches all across America today. They've never been saved. Because they don't understand that they have a need. Boy, I'll tell you what, you're not going to leave this church, and I'm confident on any day, without knowing that Jesus Christ died for you. And because you needed Him to. He blinds the minds of people like this here. Well, I've got plenty of time. Yeah, I better take care of that, but I've got... Bible says you don't have plenty of time. Bible says you have no guarantee of tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
So what are you saying? Well, now is the accepted time.
Amen.
Amen. Devil's a liar.
Yeah.
Amen. You need to take care of this thing when you can. And the good news is you can.
Thank you, Lord.
You know why? Here, this is it. I'm finishing. Come on, there's some good news. If you're in here and you're not saved, there is still room in that Lamb Book of Life for your name. I mean, the door to heaven is still open. And you can get in on the grace of God and the sacrifice Christ made for your sin. You can get in on it today by faith. You hear me? There. Oh, listen, I'm waiting for that call. I'm waiting for come up hither. That's the greatest news. Well, I'm saved, but maybe you're not. Well, today would be a good day to get saved. Nobody's off in religion. Amen. Nobody, our opinion's not worth any more than anybody else's opinion. Nobody's asking you to join a church. Baptism won't get you to heaven. But you can get your sins forgiven today once and for all. Say, well, I don't agree with everything you said. Sometimes I don't either. We're not talking about what I said. We're talking about what the Bible says. Where are you going to spend eternity? If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's up, you can know that. That's not my opinion. That's what that book says. Why don't we all stand? Bow our heads for a moment. Close our eyes. I don't know how you do it. As far as the piano, I don't know how you do it. That's your business. But I know this. This would be a beautiful day to get your sins forgiven. Because that's good news. Forgiveness is still available. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. For a moment, I'll get out of the pastor's way, but I just want to say to you, boy, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, why don't you let one of us take an old-fashioned King James Bible and take a few minutes or as long as it takes to show you what it says about how you can not turn over a new leaf, not go, how you can become a new creature in Jesus Christ. And then you'll understand why the joy of the Lord is the strength of Christians, even in the rough times, and things like that, and what we get excited about. This world doesn't have any problem with letting people know what they love and what they get excited about. Well, that's the way we are, but we're excited about Christ. And if you don't know Him, boy, today would be a good day to meet Him. And maybe, you know, maybe the cares of this life got you bogged down. Welcome to the family. But today's the day to get our focus back on the one that He won't bog you down. He's the one that's going to take us out of all this one of these days. Maybe there's some sins crept in. This would be a good day to get that confessed and get that under the blood. And you can leave out of here with your fellowship restored and your joy back and your testimony back to a place where God can use you to help somebody else. Say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. There could be a variety of needs in a group this size, and Jesus Christ is still the one that can meet them. So why don't you let them meet them, whatever the need. Preacher, you come.